And watch what God will do in your life. He's got to have your life, amen, before he can do much with it, because he doesn't barge in. He's a gentleman. Amen. He stands at the door and he knocks. If you're hearing and you're willing to open the door, I'll come in. That's called free will, choice. God gives us choice, doesn't he? Love has to be a choice. Can't be forced. You know, sometimes arranged marriages work. But sometimes they're there because we were arranged to be here. And we may not be enjoying the journey, but we're stuck. You know, but when it's consensual and there's authentic, genuine love there, amen, it's wonderful. And how many have ever had someone in your life, as you were maybe growing up, call it puppy love, or somebody that you just, you know, you were infatuated with. You just couldn't get them out of your mind or her out of your mind, you know. And you'd lay down at night and just dream about being with this person. But they didn't want anything to do with you. Oh, I hate it when that happens, right? Do you know God is so in love with you? God's so... It's hard for us to grasp that because we know how bad we can be. But God is really in love with you and wants you to be with him. You understand that love has to be a choice. And I have discovered something, that the more I get to know him personally, not just in theory, but in a personal walk and relationship with Jesus, the more I really do love him. And I want more of him. You know, it's like just your whole world revolves around Jesus. He's the center of it all. That's where we belong, you know, where Jesus is at the center. Not like the world says, you got to reach your center. You reach your center, you're not going to like what you see there. Amen. You don't want to reach your center. You want to reach Jesus. Amen. And have Jesus at the center. Amen. So I'm off the throne. He's on the throne. He does a whole lot better job with my life than I ever did. Amen. And God's going to make sure you get to know that and realize that. Amen. Sometimes we just have to have a few hard knocks to, you know, for that to get through. That God is much wiser than we are. He's much smarter. He knows what works. He knows what's good for us. And we've got to get that through our thick skulls sometimes. I said we, but I got to say me too there, right? That's why I said we. But God is allowing things in your life to bring you to him, to draw you to him. Because once you come and you lay down at his feet and you realize that all those things that seem so big and so impossible are so small in his presence. They're nothing. It is well with my soul. That's where God wants to bring you. Your life is full of fear and stress and worry and even shame and regret over the past. God is the answer. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All you who are trying to perform and live up, you know, to perfection, and yet you have no strength, no ability. He says, just yoke up with me. Put my yoke on you. Join with me. And you'll find rest. You'll find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll find that life is good in the God zone. It's real good. And we have access through the blood of Jesus to the very throne glory, the throne of our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So all that we have need of, God says, it's yours. Come. If you're thirsty, come and drink. You know, we can watch other people drink. They look like they're getting blessed over there. Well, why don't you jump in? And don't, as they say, don't waddle around in the kiddie pool. Don't splash around in the kiddie pool. Jump into the deep end. Get over yourself. Get your, like Larry used to say, get your ugly praise on. And go after God with passion. You know, and discover the glory, the wonder of him. And that he will lift you up above all the mess, all the noise, and all the confusion, and take you into a shalom, a perfect wholeness. It's a peace that passes all understanding. We're all a work in progress. And don't ever forget that. Amen. Don't ever get self-righteous. Understand that your righteousness is in Christ alone. Your hope is in Christ alone. Your strength is in Christ alone. Your ability is in Christ alone. All that you have need of is in Christ alone. We look to Him. He's got to be the center of it all. Wow. Sometimes I really enjoy even preparation for the messages, because it's like God is feeding me as well, you know. But it's been amazing how God just opens things up to us. How many have heard me say this before, but you cannot learn God? He has to be revealed to us. Amen. Some people think if they just get a little more education in the Word, that somehow they're going to know God better. Well, you can know about God, but the Word, the written Word, is so that we may know the living Word. Amen. And He is revealed by His Holy Spirit. His Spirit reveals the heart of Father to us. Well, we've been talking about pursuing love. And that word love we're talking about is the highest form of love, and that is agape. So I want to read just from 1 Corinthians 13, 1, and this is actually the New Living Translation. So just, if you would, just listen. Most of you are very familiar with this, but I want to lay a foundation again. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now that word used throughout there is agape. And that's where we've been focusing, because this is God's kind of love. Amen. This is a love that comes out of God's heart. And we've been doing a little bit of a study on the different types of words used for love. We have one word in English, love, but in the Greek there are as many as seven, possibly more. But I want us to focus on just a couple, but primarily on this word agape. And agape in its purest form requires no payment or favor in response. Agape makes it possible for us to love our enemies, even though we may not like them or the situation they have put us in. Agape love is not in any way dependent on circumstances. It says, I love you because I choose to and commit to. Agape in its perfect form only exists from God outward. This kind of love is about a commitment to the very best for another, no matter what emotions or feelings exist. Now, last week I talked a little bit about philo love and eros love, and where we get erotic, and Hollywood has gotten a hold of eros and really perverted even further. But it really means, in a lot of ways, the feeling of love. And sometimes we are motivated by this lower form of love called eros, thinking that that is God's love. So we need to understand what God's love is, so that we'll know if we are truly abiding in His love and expressing His heart. A lot of the love that we share is phileo, and that's also like a brotherly love. It's love of the brethren, Philadelphia. You know, we are to continue in brotherly love. That's the love that we have for one another. Amen. In fellowship. Important. But we are taught to agape, love one another with the love of the Lord. How many remember that song years ago, I love you with the love of the Lord? Yeah, we need to understand, what does that look like? The world has a song. I've used this as an illustration, but how many remember that song by Foreigner? I want to know what love is. Well, we're here to talk about what love is. Amen. And I'll tell you that love is a person. And that person is God himself. Amen. And the express image of that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Who was agape that became flesh and dwelt among us. The expression of God's heart was Jesus Christ. He said to Philip, Lord, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Why could he say that? Because he was one with the Father. He came forth from the bosom of the Father to represent the Father. So when you saw him, when you heard him, you were hearing and you were seeing God in flesh. Hallelujah. So we want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. And I want to be filled with this kind of love. It's a selfless love. Agape love is a love that is unidirectional. It is, I love you because I love you with the love that's in me to love you. And not love with benefits. All the other forms of love are all coming with some type of benefit, including storge, which could be motherly love for a child that you love so dearly. Because it's your child. You love that child. Even if they're bad, you know, if they turn out bad, you still love them because they're your kid, right? But there's still a benefit that you're getting, amen, in that. And we've had friends that were there when you had something to offer them. And boy, they loved you to pieces when you had something for them. But when you didn't, they weren't there. That's not agape love. That's selfish love. That's human love, amen? So God wants us to come up higher to discover Him, discover His love, be filled with Him, basically, and express Him in this form called agape. So this is what it's about. 1 John 4:16 says, we have known and believed the love, the agape, that God has for us. God is agape. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And so all other loves are inferior to God's love. Now, most of us have been paying attention to the political system, things that are going on recently. We have to be careful that we don't pay too much attention, but we also don't want to bury our head in the sand. Amen. How many know the devil wants you to bury your head and not pay attention to what's going on? All right. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, you know? Yeah. But people love politicians for the benefits they can receive from a politician. Isn't that true? The comforts, you know, oh, you're going to make my life better. I like you. I'm voting for you. And they're loved, you know, as long as they're providing what they promised to provide. But as soon as they fail to, right, to deliver the goods, well, it's a different story. Now, all of a sudden, we start to change our attitude towards that person. They're not so nice anymore, even though they sounded so convincing. So nice, making all these promises. It's like, yes, I love you. But we're loving with benefits. You understand? It's not the love of God. The love of God can look at somebody who even may have lied to you and say, you know what? I love you anyways. I'm not going to subject myself to abuse, but I'm going to love you anyways. And I'm going to pray for you. Those of you who despitefully use and persecute me, I'm going to pray for you. If you want to curse me, you can curse me. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless you. And you can't do that except by what? The love of God. Folks, we'll discover how much of the love of God is really in us when we are tested in life experiences. When people betray you. When people turn their back on you. When people aren't there when you need them. Friends with benefits. You know? Folks, we should be there for each other in the body of Christ. Amen? But even if they're not there for you, how many know what it's like to be lonely in a crowd? Maybe even in a church service, you sit and it's like you feel like you're just kind of like alone. And nobody knows my name. But you know, Jesus loved us first. God so loved, agape the world. Jesus willingly left his throne above to become a servant. So to express his love for us, to realize that we might know the love of God that passes knowledge. See, we can have all kinds of information and we can know all the mysteries. But if we don't have love, we are nothing. People can be involved in charismatic circles and even partakers of the anointing and yet not have agape. How can that be? How could it be that Judas was with Jesus all that time? 3 years. Partook of the anointing, was with Jesus, heard all that Jesus taught, saw more than we did. And yet, at the end, he forsake him. He forsook the Lord. He turned his back. He betrayed Jesus. How is it that Peter also, who had been with Jesus, had witnessed the miracles, had walked on water, had seen Jesus transfigured on the mount, and yet when it came down to it and Jesus was being carried off to be crucified, where was Peter? Folks, this is the answer. This is because they only understood eros. They only understood phileo. They understood the lower human loves, but they did not know at that time God's love. Until Peter was broken. Until Peter had the revelation of how much Jesus loved him. Isn't it interesting that Jesus made a point in saying, well, tell Peter, I'm risen. Peter had lived probably in shame and in guilt. Can you imagine how he felt after he betrayed the, in the sense that he denied the Lord 3 times and now Jesus has been crucified and he how do I live with myself? And yet Jesus loved Peter. Still. That's the love of God. Wow. I want that kind of love in me. We have fair weather friends, you know. I've had a few in my time. When I got born again, all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. I really went crazy. Yeah, I'm talking about this Jesus now. I couldn't help it. And I didn't want to help it. You know what I'm saying? But God's love is about a commitment to love. It's about a choice to love, regardless of any feelings you may have. Regardless of whether or not there's any kind of benefits that you receive from God. Yeah. It's a love that says, I love you anyways. Pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. Pursue agape and desire spiritual gifts. You know, folks, we've got that thing twisted around. In some cases, people are pursuing spiritual gifts and desiring to be loved. You come in with, I want this power, I want these gifts, and often because I want to be noticed. It says, eagerly desire the gifts, but pursue agape. Pursue God's heart and eagerly desire the gifts. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, I'm pursuing gifts, and then I want the love. I want to be loved. I'm here to be loved. I'm here to be served. You see, agape love, if we're really functioning in agape love, it's not with benefits. It's, I don't have an agenda except to love you. If I'm just coming because I want to be noticed or I want to be doted on or I want to be told I'm important or I'm somebody, you know, what if Jesus had lived that way? Do you think he would have gone to the cross for us? No. He loved us and gave himself for us freely. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. That's the kind of love that could, you know, if you and I were presented with a situation where they want to take our heads off. And there's people that want to do it. It's only the love of God that is going to bring us into victory, amen, to overcome. And how could Jesus hang from a cross after they spat on him and pulled his beard and beat him beyond recognition and mocked him and hang there and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's God's love. That's the kind of love that we should be pursuing. That's the kind of love that we should be functioning in. Not this, I'll love you if you love me. I go to church because my friends are there and we have a great time talking and chatting about the ball game or whatever. No, it's I'm here to be an expression of God's love in this world. Regardless of whether I get any benefits, whether anybody recognizes me, or if I don't get paid, it doesn't matter. I'm here to love. I'm here to serve because God's love, like Paul said, is constraining me. It's compelling me. It's motivating my heart. I can't help but have love for you because the love of God had been shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Spirit. And this is God's desire, folks, is that we would have the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our heart to such a capacity that there is no fear. Because perfect agape casts out all fear. That's the kind of heart I want in me, Lord. I want your heart in me. Agape love in its purest form requires no payment or favor in response. You hear that? It requires no favor in response. Yeah. I think if the church would really get a hold of this, I'm talking about the church, then we'd have a whole lot fewer problems. You know, all the infighting and the jealousies and the quarrels and the gossip and all the, you know, if we're in the love of God, it's like, you know what? I don't care if somebody, you know, says something that might be offensive. If I'm in the love of God and the love of God is in me, then I'm not going to love that person just because they're nice to me. Oh. Now we're really being challenged today, aren't we? Because it's easy for us, like Jesus says, it's easy to love someone who loves you. Anybody can do that. Even unbelievers do that. But to love somebody who is your enemy, now that's a whole different story. And you cannot do that. I cannot do that except by the love of God in me. How many getting this today? Now, we are counseled in Scripture to keep ourselves in the love of God. To keep ourselves in the love of God, or the agape of God. And we do so by praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Then he goes into verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So agape is the fruit of God. It's the fruit of his Spirit. Amen? And the only way for us to bear fruit is to abide in the vine, as Jesus said in John 15. To continue in him and to pray in the Holy Spirit, to be communing with God, amen, to be yielding to him and allowing him to have all of us. Because if we're full of him and self is out of the picture, then we will be that expression of God, of love, amen. Because self wants to get in there and self has to have benefits. I'll go to this church if they have good music. I'll go to that church if they have good preaching. I'll go to that church if they treat me nice. What if God tells you to go someplace where they're not so nice? God may just dispatch you as a special force agent into a place where it's not so nice so that you can turn on the light, amen, and drive the critters out of there. Be God's love. Express him. Jesus was agape in the flesh, and he demonstrated his self-denying love. that gave value to that which had little or no value. So agape also is a love that shows value to that which is valueless. Now I want you to hear this. Most of the time when we're loving with an agenda in our nature, our human nature, because there's going to be some benefit. You know? I do nice to people because I want people to be nice to me. You know? Nothing wrong with that. But our motivation should be to love regardless of any of that. Jesus loved those who hated him. Jesus demonstrated for us what love really is. And living a selfless life. The problem is even in the church, we're often very selfish. And so we come with an attitude of what's in it for me. That's not the heart of God. God's heart was, I'm here to serve, not to be served. If nobody recognizes me, if nobody does anything for me, it doesn't matter. My heart is to serve you and to be an example for you. Amen? We want to encourage each other. So by example, we live, we walk, we serve, we bless. Do we only serve Jesus as long as life is good? Or as long as he does what we expect? If we are in the love of God, folks, we will serve Jesus even when it's terrible. We will obey him even when it's difficult, when we're in the love of God. You see, a lot of people, they say, I love you, Jesus, but as soon as it gets difficult, oh, they're not so in love with Jesus anymore. Now they're mad at God. That's not God's love, folks. That's eros love. That's an emotional, feely love. Well, I didn't even feel God today. So God must not love me. God loves you, right? Whether you feel him or not. You look at the cross. You remember what he did for you. When you feel unloved, you just look at Jesus. Amen? At that cross for you. That's how much I love you, says the Lord. We're counseled to keep ourselves in this love, God's love, and to bear the fruit of his Spirit. And we cannot do that, folks, unless we have a walk in the Spirit. A daily life of sanctification. That means to be set apart for God every day. Denying myself and saying yes to God. Jesus demonstrated this self-denying love. I want you to hear this. When he reached out and he touched the untouchables. When he healed lepers. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. They had a runaround, you know, wrapped up and crawling out unclean. And yet, Jesus went to the unclean. Jesus went to the underdogs. Jesus went to the people that nobody else would go to. He went to the woman at the well that nobody else wanted to have anything to do with. Because he was agape. He was an expression of the Father's heart in flesh. That which has very little or no value in the sight of man, God sees value. Jesus saw the value of these people. Amen. He saw the value in you and I. Jesus loved those who had nothing to offer him in return. He came to this earth, gave up his throne. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In the New Living Translation it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That's the love of God. The Lord of glory taking upon himself this type of form. And dying such a horrible death for us. That's God's love. Luke 6:32, Jesus said, if you agape those who love you, what credit is it to you. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And now I want to say something else. When the love of God is in you, then you possess genuine salvation. Because you are in Christ. You cannot be in Christ and not have agape love in you. You see, there are some people who are really not in Christ. They're churchgoers. They do religious things. Sometimes they're even involved in Christian service, but they don't really have salvation. Because salvation is Christ in you, agape in you. And if Christ is in you, then you become that expression of God's love to where you can bless somebody without any expectation of a return, where you can love the unlovely. You can be friends with people that nobody else wants to be friends with. You're even willing to suffer the reproach of being in association with somebody that nobody else likes. Come on, somebody. That's God's kind of love. How many know that we were enemies to God? Enemies. And even while we were enemies, Christ died. He went to the cross. He took the initiative. He took our place and love He gave. That's God's love. And I've said this already, but folks, there's many who engage in charity work. They feed the hungry. They clothe the naked. And yet they do not possess agape. They're not born again. They're not saved. And even those who, you know, Jesus has said, they'll claim, Lord, haven't we cast out demons in your name? You know? Haven't we done many haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus is going to look at them and say, who are you? I don't know you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You are still in your sin, and you were motivated by yourself, but not by the love of God. Sometimes, folks, we think that it's okay to serve God any old way. Well, God, I'll serve you if I get to go to Hawaii and be a missionary. But don't send me to Africa. Don't send me to a snake-infested country or the Amazon or someplace like that. No, because Hawaii has nice benefits. You understand? Sometimes we just... We want to serve God our way, but that's not acceptable. The only thing that God accepts and the only thing that abides forever is the will of God. And those who do the will of God. Those who do the will of God are those who are in Christ. Whose love motivates them so that they cannot help. But I have to be serving my Lord. I have to be loving people. I have to be serving. I can't stand myself if I'm not engaged in the work of the Lord. Because the love of Christ is motivating your heart. If you have salvation, it means you have Christ. And if you have Christ, you have agape. And that agape needs to be expressed through you. And that's why God said, open your mouth and I will fill it. There's times when God's wanting you to pray for somebody or to speak to somebody. You got to open your mouth and then God will fill it. If the Holy Spirit is nudging you, listen to that voice. Amen. Do what He says. Even if it doesn't feel good initially. Because I've discovered that good feelings follow faith, right? You obey God, you'll feel good. But before you say yes, you may not feel so good about it. That flesh is going to say, I just don't want to be bothered. I think I'll just walk around this guy on the trail here and got beat up. You know? Or the religious Christian, well, I don't want to be soiled by such scum. You know, no, that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is to help. Amen. How could you have the love of God in you and not care about your fellow man? How can we not love people if we have the love of God in us? If we have the love of God in us, then we will love people, even the unlovely. You know, it's just been on the subject of Peter. Peter had confidence, hear me, because we have to examine ourselves in light of this. He had confidence in his own ability to love. But that's not God's love. God's love is only going to be expressed through us who realize that we have nothing to offer. If I have anything to offer, it's going to be what God gives me for you. And if he gives me a gift, it's not just so I can look spiritual and impress people, but this gift should be motivated by the agape of God. Amen? The love of God for the benefit of the body of Christ, for the benefit of the lost. Amen? I exercise my gift because I want to see you blessed. Whether you come to church or not, I still want you to be blessed. When we go down to the park, folks, we go down there with an attitude. We're going to minister to people. We're going to show and demonstrate the love of Jesus to people in tangible ways, the best we can by the grace of God. Amen. And in some cases, people may show up, you know, at church. In other cases, they won't. But whether they do or don't, we're not going down there with a benefits attitude. What can I get out of it if I do this? Mm-hmm. If we go to the nursing home or you go to the prison or you go to places where they can't do anything back for you. They can't bless you back. Come on. But if it's the love of God motivating you, it doesn't matter. I just want them to know how much Jesus loves them. And God takes care of our business if we take care of his. If we seek the kingdom of God above everything else, he takes care of our business. We don't have to worry about it. Folks, we need to know that we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, then we will bear the fruit of Christ. And it won't be with benefits. It will be love that is unidirectional, one directional. For God so loved, agape'd the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, we thank you for your indescribable gift. Thank you for taking our place on the cross, Lord. Thank you for the love that you have showed us and lavished upon us, the grace you lavished upon us. Lord, that you saw value in something valueless. You saw worth in something that was worthless. You loved me anyways, even when I didn't love you, I didn't know you, I didn't care about you, and I did all these things worthy of death and hell, and yet in love you gave yourself for me. You took my place on that cross. He paid the price that I deserve to pay. Therefore, my obligation is to offer my body back to him, to give myself back to him, to serve him the rest of my days. It's my reasonable service to offer my body back to God, a living sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, praise your name. I have decided to follow Jesus, to follow love, to pursue agape, to pursue the heart of the Father. And the gifts are just the fringe benefits, but it's not the pursuit. I eagerly desire, yes, so that I can be a more effective expression of God's love, but that's not the end. The goal is to know him and to make him known. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, this morning. If you're here today and you don't have this kind of agape love in you, but you want that love in you, God is calling you. Maybe as I've been speaking today, you've sensed something burning inside of you. Just your heart is burning. And you're saying, that's what I know I need. That's what I desire. That's what I want. I want God in my life. I want to know that kind of love. I want to know this one who loved me so much that he gave himself for me. I want to know Jesus. Friend, I want to invite you today to give your life to the one who loves you, the one who died for you, and the one who wants to come and dwell in you and live through you. He wants to bring you into His kingdom. He wants to deliver you out of darkness and bring you into light. Would you say yes to Jesus today? Are you willing to give your life to this Jesus that we're talking about today? Do you hear Him knocking on your heart? Do you hear Him pulling on your heart and say, come, listen to me. Be strong. Listen to my voice. I am the Lord. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. Come to me. He loves you. You're here today and you feel like, that's me. I've been the worthless thing. I've been the joke on the playground. I've been, you know, the rejection. I know what it's like to feel alone in a crowd, that nobody really cares for me. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus wants to give you a brand new start. He wants to give you a brand new beginning today. My friend, if that's you, I want you to do something really bold. But if you mean business, you really want Jesus in your life, you need to make a bold step today. And I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. Just lift your hand up and say, that's me. Amen. I see you. God bless you. You want Jesus? I don't care what people think. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, just lift your hand up and say, I know I need Jesus Christ. I want Him in my heart. I want Him in my life. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.